أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
As you know, tonight is the most probable night in which the angels would descend, because the night of 23rd is called Laylatul Juhani. And the reason for this name given to night of 23rd is a man from Banu Juhayna, a Juhani man, went to the Prophet, peace be on him, and said that I live far away from Medina and I cannot come every night of Qadr to the mosque.
And I have lots of business to do, so I only can come one night. Please advise me on which night is better to come. And because Prophet didn't want his other companions to hear about it and do not come to the mosque on other nights, because they were very close, he whispered in his ears something. And next year, everyone witnessed that the man came on the night of 23rd, meaning that the Prophet had advised him that if he could not come on all nights, he better come on the night of 23rd. This is why this night is called Laylatul Juhani, a man from Banu Juhayna. What's the meaning of Laylatul Qadr? Four different meanings have been mentioned for the expression mentioned in the Quran as Laylatul Qadr. Well, in Surah Al-Qadr, it's mentioned its name Laylatul Qadr. In Surah Dukhan, it's named Laylatan Mubarakatan. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatan Mubarakah. So it's Qadr and it's Mubarakah. And Mubarak is from Barakah. And Barakah is ever-flowing blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is Laylatul Mubarakah. Barakah, and it's Laylatul Qadr, meaning the first meaning which is given to Laylatul Qadr, they say Qadr is from Qudra, power, and that's why they call it Night of Power. Why Night of Power? Because in this night the angels witness the power of Allah in issuing His commands and in organizing the affairs of the creation. It's not only about mankind, it's about everything. In this night, Allah's power is manifest. However, this manifestation, of course, is not for us. We cannot see because we are not familiar with the world of angels. But the angels see how the power of God descends. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنْ The command of God comes gradually from the highest level to the lowest level of the angels, where they have to carry out these commands. However, Qadr is difficult to, it's very difficult to imagine Qadr comes from Qudra, from power. Therefore, this translation we see in many Quran translations, Laylatul Qadr, to be night of power, is not a good translation, it's not very accurate. So we leave this aside. The other meaning given to Laylatul Qadr is they say Qadr is from esteem. Manzalah. In Arabic language, the Al-Qadr wal-Manzalah, the esteem, the honorability. This is an esteemed night. Laylatul Qadr is a night which is distinguished by its esteem, by its nobility from other nights. And that's why, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. And the esteem is as such that it is better than 1,000 months. And 1,000 months would be 30,000 nights. So this is how the esteem is compared to other nights. And the esteem some say the esteem doesn't go back to the night itself. The esteem goes back to the worshippers who worship on these nights. So those who worship on these nights have such an esteem, are so noble, are so honorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the night is called Laylatul Qadr, the night of nobility, the night of esteem. And it's of course from the blessings of Allah that this happens to the hearts of the believers. Whoever keeps vigil, turns to Allah in these nights, He gives such a esteem and honor to the worshippers of these nights. Worshipping in these nights is equal to worshipping 1,000 months in which there is no Laylatul Qadr, of course. 1,000 months in which there is no Laylatul Qadr. So we shouldn't be lazy in this night, of course. And we have to somehow value it from the first moment of Maghrib to the last moment of Fajr. We have to value it. And we have to try to somehow beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts for the blessings of this month. Okay, this is the second meaning of Laylatul Qadr. The third meaning which is given to Laylatul Qadr is from Qadr, meaning tightness. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah expands rizq forever to whom He wishes, and He tightens it. He contracts it. So contraction, tightness. And the reason for this name given to Laylatul Qadr, those who suggest this is the meaning of Laylatul Qadr, is that the throngs and multitudes of the angels who descend on this night to the earth, which we cannot witness, of course. Again, we are cut off from the world of angels. They live in a different dimension than ours, except for those people who have an eye for that dimension. The throngs of angels who descend on the earth in this night is so huge, so numerous, that they feel the earth does not have the capacity for these angels. And there is a tight sort of descension and ascension. They come and go, throngs of angels, they come, descend to the earth, and then they go to the heaven again. And this descending and ascending is in such multitudes that the earth does not have the capacity. It's very tight for the angels when they come down. And of course, these are different from the angels who are already on the earth. There are many angels who are with us, the angels who record our deeds, the angels who protect us, for example, the angels who protect us from the angel of death. You know, each angel has its own function. There are certain angels who protect us from the angel of death, and when the command of God comes, these angels are withdrawn, the angel of death would perform its duty. So these are different from those angels. These are the angels coming from Mala'ul A'la, coming from the higher Malakut. They descend on the earth. The angels who probably have not visited the earth before. Maybe in each year different angels come. We know that the number of angels created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever more than anything that Allah has ever created. Human beings, insects, sands on the earth, stars, planets, whatever you may imagine, the number of angels created is much more than that. And there are some angels who are so far away from the world of the earth, which they may have not visited the earth at all. So these angels descend. When they come, of course, they don't come for nothing. They don't come just for a visit or for to go around and see the universe, and including the earth. Yes, no. They come to bring blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those blessings are expressed in various forms. And one thing which is very important and for that reason, we are told to keep vigil on these nights, and also to keep vigil with a very soft heart, with a very attentive heart, is that when these angels pass through, any heart they see connected to Allah, they bless it. Not, of course, this is the way they are. Not that, for example, they choose. No. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-encompassing. They do not choose. It's just like something passing. Some people have reception for it, some don't have reception for it. Those who are asleep, those who are doing other things, of course, they don't have reception for these blessings of the angels who pass through the earth on this night. But those with open hearts, those who are crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are attentive to Allah, their hearts has attracts the blessings of these angels. And this blessing, of course, would continue over the year for them and would change their attitude, their character, the things, the thoughts. You see, why sometimes evil thoughts come to some minds and it doesn't come to other minds? Why? Why some people are prone to do evil, some people are prone to do good? Why? It's all because of the blessings of these things which pass through our hearts again and again and again. It's not only Laylatul Qadr, but Laylatul Qadr, of course, we receive the most of it. On Laylatul Qadr, we can change everything in our lives. So it's all the blessings which Allah wants to be received by everyone, but of course some are closed, some are asleep, so to speak, in both literal and metaphorical way. They are asleep, they cannot receive this salam of the angels, the greetings of the angels. The fourth meaning, so the third meaning was tightness of the earth, that the angels actually experience when they come to the earth. The fourth meaning of Laylatul Qadr is Qadr from destiny, which is, of course, this meaning is mentioned in many of our traditions and ahadith as well. And it, of course, does not preclude, for example, the meaning of tightness or power or any other meaning. And taqdeer is, of course, means measuring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything in this world with measure, with calculation. As is mentioned in Surah Qamar, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Everything we have created with measuring. And you see, we experience in our life how everything is calculated in this world. Even from the smallest atom that you see in this world to the biggest objects which move around the universe, everything has its own calculation, measurement, and the only thing that we do in our science, actually, our scientific exploration, we just unravel these measurements and calculations. We just find out how measured, calculated everything is. And of course, you know, human being is stupid. Of course, not us, inshallah, but our kind generally is stupid, because when we find out about these measures and calculations, we say there is no God. We say that, okay, we don't need God anymore. We have found out these calculations and measures. So who has made these measures and calculations? Who's behind all these things? The more we find the harmony, measurement, calculation in the world, the more we have to believe, we have to confirm our faith in our hearts. That is, of course, quite reasonable. Now, what about, this is about, of course, the world as in general. What about the human world? Is there a measurement there? Is there a taqdeer here as well? When we come here, when we come to human world, it becomes a bit more difficult, because taqdeer, pre-measurement of human actions, brings into mind the compulsion, jabr, that we have no free will, we have no free choice. That's why we get confused. In the world outside human world, of course, measurement, calculation is seen very clearly. But when it comes to human world, we get confused. Okay, if everything is measured by God, then do we have a free will? If we don't have a free will, why God would reward or punish us? And all these questions, which eventually we cannot solve anyhow. But the measurement, the beauty of the creation, the complicated creation of human life is that despite the measurement and taqdeer, which is there, the human free will is preserved. How Allah does it is a very complicated process. He measures everything, but He gives us free choice and free will as well in the same time. It's one of those paradoxes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرِ He's the first, He's the last. وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنِ He's hidden, He's manifest. And He measures and he gives free choice. You see, it's paradox. He measures everything and He gives free choice. How does He do it? Now, that's a different discussion. I don't want to enter into that discussion. However, it is said in our traditions that on this night of Qadr, whatever measures the man would experience until the next Laylatul Qadr is revealed to the angels. Why I say revealed to the angels? Because Allah Himself is beyond time. We cannot say this year, next year for Him, or last millennium, next millennium. It's meaningless when we talk about Allah. Allah is outside the time. So everything now, future, day of judgment, day of the first creation is all equal in their relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what happens, because our life has time, there's a timeline in our lives, and the angels have to carry out from behind the scene what comes to us, which we usually see as accident, or we say, incidentally, these things happen, or coincidence, or for example, we tried for it, or we were lazy, or these things. Of course, all these are factors. However, there's a measure behind the scene the angels carry out. And it is revealed to them year by year. So the angels would not know what's going to happen 5 years' time for me. No, they don't know. They only know from this year to the next year what's going to happen. And then, of course, there are higher angels who know more, and then higher angels who know more than them, until it goes to God, which, of course, is beyond time, sitting outside time completely. Now, when these measurements are made, Allah, due to His great compassion, great mercy, great affection. Now, these are human qualities. We attribute them to Allah because we have no other words, of course. Allah is beyond all these things. But we talk, Allah has talked our language, and we talk in this language. When we request something from Him, when these measurements are made, when we request something from Him, He accepts. He says, okay, you want this? I give you. You want your measure to be like this? Okay, I will make it. Except, of course, if we don't know what to ask, of course, He's wiser than letting us to decide for ourselves. Like, for example, you do not let the babies or children decide for themselves whatever they want. They don't know. They have no experience in the world. But because Allah knows certain things are not good, He would not allow to enter into measurement of the year. But there are certain things which are absolutely good. Absolutely good. God, give me more faith. It's absolutely good, isn't it? Now, if you ask this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's pleased with it. And of course, when we make a dua, the dua should go up, should elevate towards the word of God. إليه يسعد الكلم الطيب. A good word a good supplication, a good statement would go up towards Allah. However, it needs an engine to take it up. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. The good act would elevate it. So, if I'm a person with no good act and always supplicate and ask, there is no engine to take it up to the world of Malakut. It remains with me. أَعُوذُ بَكَ مِنْ certain things وَمِنْ دُعَاءٍ لَا يُسْمَعْ. I seek refuge from you from a dua which is not heard by you, because it doesn't come up, it doesn't go. It's not elevated, that word. If we have, and that's why in this night you seek istighfar first of all. That's so that inshallah when the angels pass through our hearts, they see a good heart. They don't see sinners. We do istighfar and Allah will forgive. Secondly, we try to do salat, salatul layl, we try to recite the Quran, dua josh and kabir. This amalul salih would raise our du'as, our supplications towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, this dua should meet the pleasure of the world. It should not be a stupid dua. A stupid dua, Allah would not, of course, say, you don't understand. It's not good for you. If these conditions are met, then of course, this is the night where Allah is just lending his ears to us. He's just listening what we want. A very good story from Abu Hamza al-Somali. Abu Hamza was a great man. And this dua of Abu Hamza al-Somali, he reports from Imam Zain al-Abidin that we recite in the month of Ramadan. It's beautiful, beautiful dua. Now, he was very young, of course, when Imam Zain al-Abidin taught him this dua. And he lived until the time of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. So he met Imam Sajjad, Imam Baqir, Imam Sadiq, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. All these Imams he met. And Imam al-Sadiq said that Abu Hamza al-Somali in our time is like Salman in the time of Prophet, peace be upon him. Very highly esteemed. And Imam al-Baqir compared him to Luqman al-Hakim. That's Abu Hamza was like Luqman. Now listen to this story. Very beautiful story, full of lessons for us. Abu Hamza says that, I had a daughter, she fell and broke her arm. And I took her to doctor, and the doctor examined her arm and said that the arm is broken. And I said, what to do? He said, I have to put jabira. There are plasters, of course. Nowadays they put plasters, and those days they put some woods, and then they tied it, they call it jabira. And you have this wudu or jabira, you touch on these things. Now, he says that when the doctor said this and went to bring this jabair, I looked at my daughter, and I felt huge pity in my heart. And I started to cry for my daughter, my little girl that had broken her arm. And from the bottom of my heart, I said, Ya Allah, do something about this. From the bottom of my heart. While I was crying, the doctor came back and said, okay, give me your hand. My daughter took the hand. Where was the wreckage? There is nothing in this hand. Next, other hand, there's nothing. She said, well, there's nothing with this girl. Why did I say the hand was broken? Abu Hamza says, I mentioned this story to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. I said, this happened to me. My daughter's arm broke and all the story. Imam alayhi salam said, Ya Abu Hamza. Wa faqad du'a ar-rida. Your dua, your supplication met the pleasure of the Lord. And it was responded in the blink of an eye. You see, when the dua meets the rida of Allah, meets the pleasure of Allah. And to meet that pleasure, of course, there are certain conditions. First of all, as I said, the first thing, it shouldn't be a stupid dua. Sometimes we, for example, in our dua, we call against someone else who is another creation of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is making a dua against us, and Allah is laughing at us. You are making dua against each other, and you want me to respond? Of course, I'm not going to respond. Now, first of all, the dua should not be a stupid dua. And secondly, the dua should elevate. There should be something in the heart which would elevate the dua. And thirdly, it should meet the pleasure of the Lord. Of course, why shouldn't Allah respond? وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, has decreed that you call me, I respond. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this promise is going to be fulfilled. Now, because tonight is the high time of dua, there are certain manners in dua that we have to bear in mind when we supplicate. First of all, dua is not a mechanical process that you recite something as a word, for example, and then Allah would respond. It's not magic. Dua is different from magic. In magic, yes, they recite something and certain connection with jinn is established and things happen because it's not related to Allah. But dua is not like that. Dua is a connection of the heart. So you cannot just recite something in Arabic, you don't understand what it says, and say, I have supplicated to Allah. No, it should come from the heart. And that's why it's very good if we learn the Arabic and can read the du'as in Arabic. However, if we cannot, we do it in our own language. We do it in our, even in Salat, in Qunut, we are said that you can do the du'a in your own language. Why? Because it's connection of the heart with Allah. You have to connect to Him. And secondly, we should know our position and His position. Now, I have just listed a couple of things from Dua Abu Hamza. What we understand, the way the Imam puts his request before Allah. And then what he asks, this is very important. You know, why we read these du'as, for example, Dua Kumail, Dua Abu Hamza, other du'as, why don't we supplicate ourselves, whatever our heart says? Because we don't know what to ask. We don't know what to request. And therefore, because these people were perfect people in their knowledge, wisdom, closeness to God, because they knew what to ask, we read that. But bear in mind, when we read that, it doesn't mean that we are reading a text, no. Although it was composed by the Imam hundreds of years ago, but you have to recompose it from your heart. You have to initiate it from your heart so that it comes directly from you. You are saying those words because you don't know anything else. I'm talking about myself. I say this because I don't know anything else. I don't know how to talk to God. I don't know how to what to ask. But that doesn't mean that I just read it mechanically. No. I have to recompose it. I have to reissue it from my own heart so that it meets the Allah would listen. Allah would listen to the hearts, not to the tongues. Allah would not listen to the tongues. Allah listens to the hearts. It should come from the heart. Now, these manners I have listed, some of it that I have seen in this dua, Sahifa Sajjadiyya. First of all, one of the greatest things that Imam says is that, Ya Allah, there is no distance between me and you. I know that. I know that you are very close. The only thing is that I think I'm far. Otherwise, you are very close. You are here and I'm here. We are both here. Why I think you are far away? Why I think I have to shout for you to listen? وَأَنَّ الرَّاحِلَ إِلَيْكَ. This is the Imam at the beginning of the dua. He says, I understand أَنَّ الرَّاحِلَ إِلَيْكَ قَرِيبُ الْمَسَافَ. The traveler to you has a very short distance to traverse. Very short distance. There is no distance between us. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِ. You don't veil yourself from your creation, from the people. وَإِنَّمَا تَحْجُبُهُمُ الْأَعْمَالُ دُونَكَ. It's their actions which veil you from them. You don't veil yourself. You don't go into hiding. Someone was saying that, Ya Allah, if you are so beautiful, so powerful, so attractive, so what? Why do you hide yourself? And the answer came, Ya Abdi, if you like to see me, why do you close your eyes? Open your eyes, you see me, I'm here. And you have closed your eyes and you say, oh Allah, where are you? Oh, of course, you don't see me. It's amal which has actually blinded the eyes of our hearts. Now, the Imam says, أَنَّ الرَّاحِلَ إِلَيْكَ قَرِيبُ الْمَسَافَةِ. Someone who wants to travel to you, who intends to travel to you, the distance is very short. You do not veil yourself, so cover yourself from your creation. It's our actions which cover us from you. The second thing is, and this is the most important, remember this, sometimes you may come back to it. We do not deserve that God should listen to us. We do not deserve it. Really, we do not deserve it. When we go and sit before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to pray, supplicate, remember that we are not good enough for Him to listen to us. We are not good enough for Him to not turn away His face from us. You see, when you have done something very, very bad to someone, when you go to see them, they turn their face away. And this is what the Imam says in this dua, فَلَا تُعْرِضْ بِوَجْهِكَ الْكَرِيمَ عَنِّي. Do not turn your face away from me. Although I'm very bad, I confess I'm very bad, but when I have come to you so that you would listen to me, do not turn your face away from me. Although I do not deserve, I confess, I'm very bad. لَكَ الْعُطْبَى حَتَّى تَرْضَى. This is what the Imam says all the time in his dua. You can rebuke and rebuke and rebuke, and I deserve it, I know. But you rebuke until you are pleased. My hands are up. So, the second thing is that وَقَدْ قَصَدْتُ إِلَيْكَ بِطَلَبَةِ. Yes, I have come to you with all my requests and needs. مِنْ غَيْرِ اسْتِحْقَاقٍ لِاسْتِمَاءِكَ مِنِي. I know I do not deserve that you listen to me. I know this. But you are you and I am me. You are God and I am your small servant. You're a small apt. I do not expect that you treat me in the way that I treat others. This is the second. The third thing is that we have confidence in the generosity of God. When we want to ask something from Him, we have confidence. In the continuation of what Imam says, that I have not come to you with any good acts. I have not come to you with any good heart. I know this. But why have I come? Why have I come? If someone asks me, are you stupid? Despite all you have done, you still go. Despite all the sins you have done against God, now you go back to Him. As he mentioned in his dua, هَارِبٌ مِنْكَ إِلَيْكَ. Ya Allah, I'm escaping from you to you. You see? I escape from you because of my sins. But I escape to whom? Where should I go? I escape to you, from you, to you. Now here it says, the only thing that I rely in this coming, in this encounter that I have come back, despite whatever I have done, is my confidence in your generosity. بَلْ لِثَقَتِي بِكَرَمِكَ. My confidence in your generosity. حُجَّتِي يَا اللَّهِ فِي جُرْأَتِي عَلَى مَسْأَلَتِكَ. How I dare to come to you again, is what I have done. How I dare to come to you? Now, you ask me why I have come? What's my support that I have come to you? حجتي يا الله في جرأتي على مسألتك ما اتياني ما تكره. Although I have done many things you didn't like, displeased you, جودك وكرمك is your generosity, is your nobility. That's why I have come back to you. And of course, if you reject me, where to go? There's no other place to go. The other thing is that you know, despite whatever I've done, you see, this is the manner of the dua. I mean, this Abu Hamza, this dua of Abu Hamza taught by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, shows the character of Imam Zain al-Abidin. The humbleness, the humility, the knowledge he had about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he says that another reason I come to you, because you know I have no one else. If you say only those who are good should come to me, okay, I am bad. You tell me, where should I go? Where should I go? I have no one else. وَيَقِينِي بِمَعْرِفَتَكَ مِنِّي. You know why I have come to you? Because I know for sure you know. أَلَّا رَبَّ لِي غَيْرَكَ. I have no Rabb but you. وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا. There is no Allah in this world but you. Where should I go? If you respond only for your pure people, if you respond only for you, to your good people, where should the sinners go? It's said in hadith that once Musa said, Ya ilaha al-mukhlasin, something like this, oh, the God of the pure, Allah said, Labbaik. Yes, what do you want? And then Musa was thinking about himself. You see, this humility and humbleness of prophets always gave them the expression that they are wronging themselves compared to their position with Allah. Then he called, Ya ilaha al-musi'een, oh, the God of wrongdoers, the sinners. And the response came three times, Labbaik, Labbaik, Labbaik. And Musa said, I'm amazed, I called you with the name ilaha al-mukhlasin. You responded once, I said ilaha al-musi'een. You responded three times. How come? Allah said, because musi'een need me more. So I respond more. Anyone who has done something wrong, turning back to me, of course he is very happy. It's just like your somehow child who is deviated comes back to you, knocks your door. Of course you will become happy, very happy. You respect them more than that. You remember this story of the Bible about the prodigal son and these things. It's just true. Allah would like that. Anyone who has wronged themselves to go back to him. And one before final, is confessing to our wrongdoings. This is very important. This humbles us. This humiliates us. This softens our hearts. You know, you may have not, of course, sinned the way other people sin. But just imagine when we stand in Salat and we think about other things. Does really God deserve such a treatment from us? He doesn't. We are wrongdoers. When we neglect Him and attribute the things that He has given us to others, including to our own power and ability, haven't we wronged Him? Yes, of course we have wronged Him. We have wronged ourselves. So confessing, antal muhsinu. These are all in Dua Abu Hamza. Antal muhsinu wa nahnu musi'un. You are the one who always does good, and we are the one who always do bad. We confess this. Ad'uka ya Rabbi bilisanin قد أخرسه ذنبه. Again in دعاء أبو حمزة. My Lord, I call you with a tongue which is turned dumb because of sins. رب أناجيك بقلب قد أوبقه جرمه. I call you with a heart which is tarnished by crimes. And that's why I cannot see you. And finally, and this is probably the most important thing, insistence. Ask again and again and again. Do not become disappointed. فَوَعِزَّتَكَ يَا سَيِّدِي. This is very beautiful in Dua Abu Hamza. And this shows this beautiful soul of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. فَوَعِزَّتَكَ يَا سَيِّدِي لَوْ نَهَرَتَنِي مَا بَرَحْتُ مِنْ بَابِكَ. I swear by your might, if you reject me, I'm not going to go away. I'm not going to go away from your door. You may reject me, you may kick me, go away. I don't want to listen, but I don't go. I come back again. Because of course I know eventually you are going to accept me. Eventually you are going to give me what I want. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in this night of blessing, the 23rd of Ramadan, the night of Qadr, the last night of Qadr, inshallah, He would respond to us, He would listen to us. And inshallah, the most important thing that we ask from Him is that to finish our life in blessing and to make the overall result of our life something that He's pleased with. Prolongs our life, provided gives us good acts. If our life is going to be in His disobedience, we ask Him that He cuts us off. As Imam Zain al-Abidin says, if my life is going to be a grazing land for shaitan, please finish my life. But if my life is going to be a grazing place for my growth, for my perfection, prolong it. And inshallah, Allah would give us the khair that He gave to Muhammad and Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this night.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat.